Okay, Mishnah Ches. Rabbi Gamliel Omer, Shalash Aratzos L'Chala, there are three lands with respect to Chala. Now, what he's really saying is that in Eretz Yisrael, there are three different regions that have three different sets of halachas with respect to Chala. Me'eretz Yisrael ad Kaziv, from the larger chunk of Eretz Yisrael going up until Kaziv in the north, Chala Achas. You have to take off one Chala. What does that mean? So as we've discussed in the past, when the Jewish people came out of Mitzrayim, they were led into Eretz Yisrael by Yeshua, and they conquer a good chunk of Eretz Yisrael. There are some territories that have to be conquered after Yeshua dies. But either way, that's the kibush of Olim Mitzrayim. They conquer Eretz Yisrael. When they conquer Eretz Yisrael, now Eretz Yisrael has Kedusha. Therefore, the mitzvahs hatulis ba'aretz apply. There's Shemitah, there's Meitzer, there's Chuma, etc. Now, we know, though, that ultimately the Jewish people, we build the Beis HaMikdash. It lasts for about 400 years. Then Klal Yisrael is kicked out. We have Galus Bavel. The Jewish people are kicked out of Eretz Yisrael. Galus Bavel segues into Galus Paras HaMadai. We have the Purim story. Then the Jewish people are let back into Eretz Yisrael, and they basically reconquer Eretz Yisrael. That was the second kibush, the kibush of Olei Bavel. The people who are coming out of Bavel, they were reconquering Eretz Yisrael. Now, there's a big difference, though, between Olei Mitzrayim and Olei Bavel. When the Olei Mitzrayim came up, they conquered Eretz Yisrael. Now Eretz Yisrael has Kedusha. They conquered a much larger territory than what the Olei Bavel conquered later. Now, why is that important? That's important because when the Jewish people were kicked out of Eretz Yisrael, the land, the Kedusha of the land dissipated. So now when the Olei Bavel come back and they reconquer Eretz Yisrael, so now there is a new Kedusha that starts from that point in time. But that's only for the territories that were actually conquered by the Olei Bavel. So now we have a whole bunch of land, though, in Eretz Yisrael that was conquered by the Olei Mitzrayim, but was not conquered by the Olei Bavel. So we're going to have to figure out what we're basically going to do in this mission, which we're going to break up the land that we're talking about into, there are going to be three different regions. One is going to be a region that was conquered by Olei Bavel. In other words, it was conquered by Olei Mitzrayim, it was conquered by Olei Bavel. Fine, so that's the easiest one to deal with. The second is going to be land that was conquered by Olei Mitzrayim, but was not conquered by Olei Bavel. And then the third is going to be land that was not conquered by Olei Mitzrayim, and also not conquered by Olei Bavel. Okay, so the Mishnah says like this. Rav Gamliel Omer Shalash Aretz L'Chala. There are three different regions in Eretz Yisrael with respect to Chala. Me'eretz Yisrael v'ad Kaziv, from the broader chunk of Eretz Yisrael going up until the north, until Kaziv, Chala Achas. All you'd have to do is take off one Chala. In other words, that's the standard halacha of Chala. When you make a dough from a grain that came from those from that area, and you're making a dough there, you're going to have to take off one Chala to give to the Kohen. Mikaziv ad Hanar v'ad Amana, but from the land going from Kaziv until the river, and it's a little bit of machlok is what the river here is. It's not necessary for now, but going from Kaziv until the river, v'ad Amana, going to Amana, so that chunk of land, which as far as we're concerned, is land that was conquered by the Olei Mitzrayim, but it was not conquered by the Olei Bavel. So what do you do now? It doesn't have any Kedusha, right? Because the very first Kedusha that the Olei Mitzrayim invested in the land, that Kedusha dissipated when the Jews were kicked out and sent into Bavel. And the Olei Bavel never reconquered that land. So now if you have grain coming from that proper, from that territory, and you make flour, you make a dough out of that grain, so what do you have to do? So it says the Mishnah, shtei chalas. You'd have to take off two different chalas. In other words, we treat it kind of like chutz la'aretz. Achas l'or, one is going to go to the fire, v'achas a coin, and one is going to go to the coin. Now, why do you do that? No, so first of all, as far as we're concerned, this land that you obtained this grain from is not part of the land that was conquered by the Olei Bavel, so it doesn't have that kind of kedusha. And so when you're going to be taking off two chalas, one is going to go to the fire. You're going to have to burn it like any other chala that you take off in chutz la'aretz. It has tumas eretz ha'amim on it, right? The chazal were gozer atuma on all land outside of Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, you're going to have to take off one chala that's going to be burned like any other chala that's tame. The achas l'koin, one's going to go to the coin. You give one to the coin. Why do you give one to the coin? The answer is that not everybody knows that the land that was not reconquered by Olei Bavel has Tumas Eretz Ha'amim in that land. In other words, you have land over here, it was conquered by the Olei Mitzrayim, but it was not conquered by the Olei Bavel. Well, do we say that Chazal were gozer the tumah that they were gozer on the rest of the lands outside of Eretz Israel, or they gozer that on this land as well? And so people are not going to realize this is not part of Eretz Israel, and therefore it should be considered like all other land, like chutz la'aretz. And so therefore, because people aren't aware of this halacha, we're going to say, one, you're going to have to put on the fire, and a second chunk they're going to take off as challah is going to be given to the kohen. Because that way people will realize, if I tell them, take off challah and just burn it, people are going to be wondering, why is it that I'm taking off challah and burning it? Why am I burning perfectly tahar challah? And so then when Chazal institute that you have to take off another portion and give it to the kohen, so now they're going to start raising their eyebrows, what's going on over here? They're going to start asking the rabbi, hey, can you please explain to me, why are we doing such strange things for produce that came from Eretz Yisrael? And the explanation would be, well, actually, it did come kind of from Eretz Yisrael in that the Olim Yisrael conquered this land, but the Olim Bavel did not, and therefore doesn't have the regular Kedusha. Okay, so now, Shalor, you should know that the challah that you take off to be put in the fire, which is the primary challah that you're taking off, is yesh lashir. That does have a shir. In other words, like any other challah that you take off from a dough, that's tamid. We don't want you to take off the largest amount possible because you're going to be burning it. So the shir that you're going to take off is going to be 1/48. Vishal kohen, the amount of challah that you take off to give to the kohen, the second chunk of challah that you take off, ein lashir. There is no amount. In other words, you can take off even a mashu and you'll satisfy the takana that Chazal made. Okay. Now, that takes care of the first region of Eretz Yisrael and the second region of Eretz Yisrael. Min ha'nar u'min ha'amana v'lefnim. But going from the river and from Amana and inwards, and it's a little bit of a machlokas how to understand this, but again, for our purposes, all we care about in this line of the Mishnah is that this territory, wherever it is exactly, is territory that was not conquered, that was conquered neither by the Olei Bavel nor by the Olei Mitzrayim. So now, what are you going to have to do when you have produce coming from that land and you're making a dough out of that produce? So now, what kind of challah do you have to take off? Shtei challahs. You have to take off two challahs. Achas la'or. One is going to go into the fire, because again, we're dealing with land that's outside of Eretz Yisrael, and therefore it is tameh, and the challah that's tameh has to be burned. V'achas la'koin, and one that goes to the koin for eating. In order to, again, why do you give it to the koin now? Well, this is not the same as for the territory, the second territory we mentioned in the Mishnah. This is a slightly different reason. This is just like any other land that's in Chutz La'aretz proper, is that we don't want the whole idea of challah to be forgotten, and so we want people to know that you take off challah and you give it to the kohen. Okay. Shal'or, the one that goes to the fire, ain l'shir. There is no shir for that. You can take off any amount that you want. V'shal kohen, but the one that's going to be going to the kohen, yesh l'shir. That does have an amount. You have to take off 1/48. Okay, utful yom. What about if you have a kohen who's a tful yom? Now, a tful yom, the simplest case of a tful yom is, let's say a person is a valkeri. They had an emission, and now they are tameh, so they have to go to the mikvah. When they got done going to the mikvah, they are not completely tahar yet. They've diluted the tumah, but they're not fully tahar until harav hashemesh, until the sun goes down. So what happens if you have a person, he has gone to the mikvah, but the sun has not gone down yet? So they are called a tvul yom. They are a person who have gone to the mikvah that day. So they have a somewhat diluted status of being tummy. So what's the halacha for a kohen who is a tvul yom ochla? It is permitted for him to eat it. What are we talking about? Simply speaking, we're talking about the challah of chutz la'aretz. In theory, the stuff that you give to the kohen can be eaten by a kohen if he is a tvul yom. Okay, so now Rabbi Yossi Omer in the tzarach tefila. Rabbi Yossi says actually kohen wouldn't need tefila. He wouldn't need to go to the mikvah even if he's tameh. There's no problem. It'd be permitted for him to eat the challah that was taken off and given to the kohen from chutz la'aretz. Now though, va'asura lazavim v'lazavas l'nidas l'yodos, but challah would be prohibited to azav or azava or anida or yorolenes. Now, we don't really have to go through each of these four people. The point is that each of these four people have a more stringent status of tumah. Why? Because where's the tumah coming from? Sometimes it's possible for someone to become tummy by something, by means of something external. For example, if a person touches a corpse, they become tummy. But that's not tumah that emerged from their own bodies. That's external source of tumah. But then we have people who become tummy because of an internal source of tumah. You have a zav or a zava or a nida or yoledes. A zav is a man who who emits some sort of a fluid. It's an illness of some sort of zavas, a woman who emits some sort of a fluid, a nida, a woman who has her period, or a yoledas, a woman who has a baby. So she's tummy for 7 days after she has a boy, or she's tummy for 14 days after she has a girl. Either way, all these tumas are stemming from the fact, from some internal tumah. And so therefore they have a more stringent status of tumah. And therefore, if any one of these people was a kohen, or let's say in the case of a zavar or a nida or a yoledes, was a wife of a kohen, they would not be allowed to eat challah that was given to them from challahs chutz ha'aretz, from challah that was taken off from dough that was made in chutz la'aretz. Okay. And the challah can be eaten, the challah of chutz la'aretz can be eaten with a zar, with a non-kohen al shulchan on the table. Meaning to say, when it comes to challah in Eretz Yisrael, we don't want kohanim to be eating their challah at the same table that a zar, that a non-kohen is eating their breakfast, because we're nervous that the kohen is going to end up sharing with the non-kohen. But in chutz la'aretz, there isn't as much of a concern, we're not as concerned, and so therefore, it's permitted for the kohen to eat his chuma, or his challah for that matter, on the same table that a zar is eating his food. Vini tenas lekol kohen, and this challah from chutz la'aretz can be given to any kohen, even a kohen who is an am ha'aretz, right? In Eretz Yisrael, you're not supposed to give challah to a kohen who is an am ha'aretz, who doesn't know the halachas of how to treat challah, or how to treat chuma, or how to treat truma, because we're nervous, they're not going to eat it in a state of tahara. But when it comes to challah chutz la'aretz, we're more mekel, we're more lenient, and therefore, even if the kohen isn't familiar with all the halachas, it's permitted to give him this challah. Okay, so what do we say in this Mishnah? Again, there are three major territories in Eretz Yisrael. One is the land that was conquered by both the Olei Mitzrayim and the Olei Bavel. That land, all you have to do is take up one challah, give that to the kohen, and you're good to go. The second area, the second territory in Eretz Yisrael, is land that was conquered by the Olei Mitzrayim, but it was not conquered by the Olei Bavel. And so therefore, we give it this quasi status. People relate to it in a little bit of a confused way. They're not sure. They might think that we should treat it like the rest of Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, we say you have to take off one. You have to take off two challahs. One that's supposed to be burned. One that's supposed to go to the kohen. The one that's supposed to be burned has a shear. The one that's going to the kohen does not have a shear. Then the third territory is land in Eretz Yisrael, or land in general, excuse me, that was not conquered by the Olei Mitzrayim and not by the Olei Bavel. So, what's the story? What kind of challah do you take off? You take off two challahs, like any land in chutz la'aretz. One is going to go to the fire, one is going to go to the kohen. The one that goes to the fire has no share. You can take off any amount that you want. The one that goes to the kohen has a share. You take off 1/48. Okay. The second part of the Mishnah then goes on to discuss, what about its full yom? Can you give challah to a kohen, or an ashes kohen, who is tameh? So the Mishnah tells us, according to the Tanakhama, a full yom can eat challah from chutz la'aretz, and Rabbi Yossi says, actually no, he doesn't even have to be a tful yom, he can even be tamei, and you can give him the challah of chutz la'aretz. But if he is tamei, or she is tamei, the eishes kohen is tamei, with a higher status of tumah, for example, you have tumah like for a zav, or a zava, or nidah, yoledes, then that would be a problem. The final two points of the Mishnah are that in chutz la'aretz, the rules are a little bit more lenient, that when you give kohen, when a kohen gets challah, he can eat the challah on the same table that a zar is eating at. There's no concern that they're going to share their food. And the final point is that the challah can be given to, the challah from chutz la'aretz can be given to any kohen, even to a kohen who's not familiar with the halachas of challah.